Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Lauren L. of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's currently June 28th, 3:30 p.m. Today is a unique broadcast. I am speaking with a special guest on the show. He's based in the Morongo Basin. I'm very excited to have him here to speak and to share with us what he does. He goes by the name 33 Bulls. He's also known as Hans. A lot of you may know of him. Hansen is a Lasserian for over a decade. He's designed hardware that is part of the internet backbone. He's an ASALIN 28-day alumnus and is currently the human behind the best-selling 33 Bulls Tibetan Singing Bulls records. And I first came across Hans over 5 years ago. I went to the Integratron when they were having their public sessions on the weekends, and he was the guest musician for that day. Normally at the Integratron, the sounds that are played are from quartz singing bowls or crystal singing bowls. And so Hans happened to be there, and he had all of his Tibetan singing bowls set up. I was completely unknowledgeable of what Tibetan singing bowls even were. And so we went through the sound session, and I thought it was very beautiful, very relaxing. And I've just kept up with him over the years, and he's stayed in this area for some time now, so I'm very excited to have him on the show. Hi, Hans, how are you doing?
Okay, I'm here if you are. Thanks for having me on.
Very excited to have you on the show. I'm a big fan of your work. Can you briefly explain to us what exactly 33 bowls are? Can you kind of sum it up in a nutshell, or what Tibetan singing bowls are, actually?
Well, let's wind back. Yeah, probably millennia ago in the monasteries, somebody figured out the concept, I believe, of brain-mind entrainment. And my impression, again, I'm not pretending to know really what I'm talking about, but this seems to be what it most likely is that the sounds of the metal singing bowls, very complex tones that are still reasonably coherent, even though they're complex, if that sounds like a paradox, well, it is, were used as a guide or a stepping stone to get the practitioners into the relaxed states as we tend to think of them in the Western world. But more accurately, they're really the state of no state. I know that sounds, again, like a paradox, but once you've sat through a few of the concerts, you'll probably get an inkling of what that's like. It's where the noise and the clutter and the turbulence in the brain and central nervous system kind of quiet down a bit, and you get to that more, well, again, quiet space. And let's see, what else about the bowls? They're all metal. They're antique. They're probably a couple hundred years old on average. And the next part of the question about 33 was that I was years back had asked sort of this question about what would it be like to have a collection of tuned antique metal singing bowls. It was one of those wide open questions that I never expected an answer to, but things happened and I ended up with quite a collection of them spanning, again, centuries and age. And they matched each other in ratios that are reasonably harmonious or sonorous to Western ears, unlike a lot of the, I'm almost going to call it cliche, I know it sounds a bit snobbish, but there's a certain sort of sound that we associate with in the Inuit community. I call it the clang, clang, clung sound that is, I don't know if it's a caviar kind of thing, but it's kind of I call it an acquired taste. So I was really wanting something that had a more sonorous, harmonious feel, and it happened. So I was playing the bowls for a Thanksgiving yoga class, of all things, and hadn't really put much, left brain planning kind of thought into it. I was just doing what felt right. And the yogi counted the bowls and said, hey, did you know there's 33 of them here? And then he counted the yogis and yoginis, and there were 33 of them. And I went, okay, there's a little synchronicity to pay attention to. So the name became 33 Bowls. Now, the collection has grown over the years, but it didn't seem too practical to grab a new domain every time a new one showed up.
And so generally when you do these concerts and you're is the correct term playing the bowls? How would you word it when you're performing a concert?
Well, you could say they're not my bowls. I'm their human, so maybe they're playing me. But yes, it is. There has to be a human to operate the mallets, and I happen to be that human. And yeah, that's it.
You are the human operator. And so when you
right.
are playing the concert, what generally happens, because I think some listeners may not really know
sure.
what exactly a singing bowl is, when
well,
you perform, what happens?
Sure. Take a look online, some of your pictures or some of the pictures off the 33 Bowls website. You'll see a rather large collection of different sized, what look like brass or that tone metallic bowls. What I actually do is, what do we call it, practical Zen? There's a concept or a phrase that's sort of been beaten to death. It's almost a cliche. It's called holding the space, but it really does mean something. And when I'm doing the recordings or when I'm, quote, performing or playing a concert, I am very, what's the word? I'm holding the space. I'm very aware of this slow cranial wave rhythm. And I know that sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook too, but let's rewind here a bit. Ocean waves have a particular rhythm about 3, 4 to maybe 6 times a minute. It's a slow wave in and out. And it seems that we have been bathed in that slow wave for a very long time, certainly through our physical ancestors. It's very familiar. When someone goes to the beach, it feels good. And there's probably good reasons for it. It's familiar. In fact, I often, what's the word? I wouldn't go so far as I chastise the overuse of the word sacred. But to me, what we think of as sacred often is really something that's familiar to us. We know what it is. We're innately tuned in or dialed into it. So this slow wave is actually does show up in our bodies. There is a cerebral spinal fluid that connects the spine to the brain. It's almost like a giant tadpole. It has an innate rhythm similar to that, at least when we're well or we're in a coherent, healthy state as opposed to a perturbed or turbulent state. And when we breathe slowly and deeply and tune into being present in the body, the heart rate variability tends to do the same slow wave along with the blood pressure. It's called the Valsalva wave. It moves up and down in synchrony, and this whole thing becomes this coherent, synchronous, slow wave in the body. And what we call brain waves also tend to synchronize to that. Now, there's a whole other story and a lot of depth behind what we call brain waves. There's been a gross oversimplification, particularly in Western cultures, about what brain waves are and what we think they are and yada, yada, yada. And every time somebody discovers, hey, we've got alpha waves, beta waves, and gamma waves, they think they know what they're talking about, but generally they don't. But essentially, the waves that we do measure in the brain through EEG or electrical pickups on the scalp are reflecting that deeper state. It's like the ripples in the pond of a more still pond. So let's see, that was a long way to describe that. What happens is that a group of people listening to the bowls tend to all synchronize and good things happen. I'm, again, kind of reticent to make any kind of medical claims or any of that kind of stuff. But experience is that people have unique, generally good experiences and as varied as we are. Some people just need to relax. Some people will completely just doze off and even snore a bit and come out after a session.
Right. This is a very special experience for a lot of people. And some people seek
right.
out your or Tibetan singing bowls in general. They'll seek out the recordings for health benefits.
Right. Right. And so that does happen indeed. And again, whatever each individual psyche, soma, or body-mind needs generally happens. And like I say, I've had people have out-of-body experiences during concerts. I have people see colors, and again, other people just fall asleep because they need it. Things do tend to be rather hectic, although we're tempted to say in these times, you know, realize that throughout history, we've always had quotes along the lines of, you know, these are the best of times, these are the worst of times. It's always like that. But they do seem to be rather hectic for a lot of people, and so we really do need to, in effect, relax. Although what this is doing is not the same as passive relaxing. There's a different state between passive relaxing where the body and mind go into kind of a not so coherent state. It's kind of almost a slightly turbulent flatline, I would call it. But when you're dialed into the bowls, there's a different kind of coherent state that's maybe more alive and again, I use that word present, but there really is something to those concepts, the ones that are often abused as a cliche, holding the space and being present.
That is pretty interesting to think about, because usually the sessions that I've been to have been the public sessions, and so there is this sense of being aware of there's others around me, there's, you know, things happening around me, but at the same time having to relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually really good for you, it turns out. We have these ideals about, you know, the old joke, meditation, it's not what you think. We think we're not, quote, in a meditative or contemplative state if we've got thoughts or feelings or turbulence floating around, or, you know, the chatter stuff. And in reality, it's the bringing back to center that develops the proverbial mental muscle. Much like if you're weightlifting or working out a body in a physical sense, you don't hold the weight up for as long as you can. If you can't hold it up for 5 or 10 minutes, you suck. You put it down and you pick it back up, and it's the act of picking it back up, the movement, the dynamic that builds resiliency and structure and strength. And the analogy pretty well holds up in the physical part of the brain that Dr. Daniel Siegel has done fMRIs, brain scans of people before and after doing like a whopping 8 weeks of just, say, breath awareness. And they do literally, to use that cliche, grow more gray matter in only 8 weeks of just doing focused awareness versus falling asleep relaxed.
And it does seem like a person would, it's important to go through listening to your recordings multiple times or your live performances, because there's a different experience every time. I know that when I first read about Tibetan singing bowls and the relaxation, I just thought it would happen automatically the first time I went. But I've learned that since I've gone to different sessions, I've had a different experience every time. Sometimes I never really let go and relaxed. Other times I did. So it is a series of relaxing, it seems, and listening to the sound.
Yeah, you got that. It's back to the physical analogy. You don't just pick up a set of weights, work out once, and say, okay, I'm in shape. You kind of do it a few times, right? And, you know, there's, of course, other factors. No, go ahead. You pretend like you were about to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring more into what is your connection to the area here in the Morongo Basin. You've been here for some time. How long have you been here?
Has it been 4 or 5 years? I came out here originally to an artist's retreat at the Harrison House and ended up staying for a number of various reasons out here in the high desert. And, in effect, here I am. It's been a good home for the bowls for this time. And what else is there connected? You know, it's funny that certain areas seem to attract a critical mass of creative types. And the Joshua Tree / High Desert area here seems to be one of them. When you drive up north through the other parts of the desert regions, you don't have that same kind of creative, dare I say, vibe in most areas. You have these pockets, and Joshua Tree is one of those nice pockets where you've got a creative community of most interesting types, lots of good people.
Yeah, you do seem to fit in this area well and suit the type of environment that's here. I know that you offer different types of sessions. You've done local concerts for the area.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you've also done national performances.
Right. The way I do it is, if invited, the bowls will usually show up. The big stuff like Lightning in a Bottle and other festivals are a lot of fun. You can have anywhere from hundreds to thousands of people all tuned in at the same time. And the Joshua Tree Music Festival is a wonderful festival, particularly for those who haven't dived into the transformational festivals or music festival scene. Joshua Tree Music Festival is a really good way to get your feet wet because it's really pretty mellow, but still has this really nice vibe to it. Again, I'm using that word, but it has a good feel to it. And so I do that one twice a year. What else? Oh, smaller venues like the Living Room Concerts are an entirely different beastie. That wasn't the right word.
Right. You've done so much from, you know, Lightning in a Bottle to a Living Room session. And you offer private sessions, correct?
I haven't really done much in the way of private, but if asked, sure, we could certainly work something out with somebody. By the time we do a Living Room Concert, we might only have half a dozen people, and it's so close to a private session that pretty well is the same thing. What I found in the smaller living room gatherings is that it's a very quiet space, because typically at festivals or even concerts, there's going to be some kind of background noise, and like at Bobby First, where I've been seeing you four times a year. I do Bobby First's First World. We do those on the equinoxes and solstices now. The living room ones, it's, if we do them right and we find a quiet enough space, which we usually do, you just completely settle in and there's very little distraction whatsoever. And they're not amplified. They're just how the vocals would sound in the room, which is not coincidentally how I make the recording sound. Which segues me to another, probably another question a little further down your list about the recordings, I think. First, did I finish answering your question about living room versus larger venues? I think I did.
Yeah, I think we have an idea that I think it's interesting how you've expanded to events such as big as Lightning in a Bottle. And, you know, I've known of you again for about 5 years now, and you've been doing major events, so that's really interesting, all the way down to living room sessions. But yes, we were moving on to the question or the subject of your new recordings that you're planning to release. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, a teaser here. Let's see. Well, I made kind of a pact with whomever one makes pacts with, that whether there were half a dozen or tens of thousands of people, I would put the same soul, heart, feel, intention, holding the space into the concerts, and that seems to have worked reasonably well. And the recordings came out kind of as a bit of a dissatisfaction with the then state of the art, because most, and I'm going to sound like a snob here, but my apologies in advance, but most recordings do sound like recordings, and way too many of them seem to be full of show-off as opposed to holding the space and making it accessible to people widely distributed versus having to go find a concert or even less likely go find a monastery somewhere to listen to them. And so it's much more widely available. But what I did was I put on my Alpha Geek hat from my past experiences, and I figured out or looked at it as a puzzle or a curiosity. How could I record the bowls in a live situation so that it really sounded like you were in the room with the bowls versus it sounded like a recording or somebody showing off with special sound effects? And I had played the early recordings for some friends who were, it was kind of fun because I would play it in the next room, the recording, and they couldn't tell whether it was live or the recording, and I thought that was a pretty good metric. So it was suggested to do something with them, and I put them out on Amazon and iTunes for digital distribution and later CD Baby for physical CDs and, of course, Bandcamp for high-resolution downloads, and let it go without any advertising, and they floated up, and we're now looking at 4.5 years on Amazon New Age Top 10 downloads with no advertising. So I'm presuming they, shall we say, resonate with a few people.
Yeah, you've been very successful on Amazon.
And I have a new recording in the wings. However, it's almost like it doesn't need to be said. The original recording says all that needs to be said, and it's kind of a curiosity to see how long will it keep going. Will we go for 5 years? But somewhere in this next remaining part of this year, there'll be a new one showing up first as digital downloads, again, on Amazon, iTunes, and Bandcamp, and then eventually CDs, physical CDs. I've also been quite impressed how many physical CDs sell, although that's not too surprising because one of the factors in this recording is there is a lot of nuance, subtle textures that does tend to get lost if you do too much in the way of processing. The recordings themselves are completely not processed. There's no gain writing or compressors or mastering or anything like that. And it was also another way I broke all the rules by just putting out something that sounded like the real thing. But even though there's no trickery, you still do get a little more of that essence. It gets you a little closer to what a live experience sounds like if you do get the full CD resolution or even the higher 24-bit downloads from Bandcamp. And looking for the second recording to possibly go out on, there's yet another new high-resolution format by Meridian in the UK called MQA. It may happen that way, or it may just be, quote, a normal CD with high-res downloads and Bandcamp. We shall see. Part of the fun is that I only half joke that the bowls seem to have a mind of their own. I just show up and see what wants to happen, and I facilitate it.
That is really interesting to think about recording the bowls, because to hear them in person, it's an amazing experience. I specifically remember when I saw you or listened to you at the Integratron, and I was laying on the ground and I could feel the ground vibrating from from the bowls, and it was just an amazing experience. So I know for you to speak highly of the recording, that's a big accomplishment.
Well, I wanted to crack that nut or solve that puzzle, and I think I did. I believe so. The new recording is interesting in that it's less, less of the room. The first recording, which, the current one, really puts you in a live acoustic space, brings you to the bowls. The new one in the wings just kind of brings you right to the bowls. It's like putting your head right next to a bowl or putting one right on top of you. So there's a bit more of the bottom end, and there's less awareness of a room or a space around you. And I'm hoping it'll hit the spot in the same way. It's actually a single 74-minute piece, so it should be good for extended massages, nice long yoga sessions, or just relaxing and falling to sleep.
Right, that's a decent amount of time.
Yeah, I did it so it would fit on a CD, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, otherwise, we could go for 2 or 3 hours, but we kind of had limits on the amount of kilobytes, and we could fit there.
Do you have an approximate date of when this will be available, or is that unknown at this point?
I need to consult my astrologer on that. No, I'm going to do this by feel, and we'll see. Partly it's arrangement with the disc pressing facilities, and believe it or not, there's actually technical details to work out with the digital distribution. They're used to albums having a bunch of shorter songs, and so I'm approaching them. I have a single 74-minute one. It's both a full album and it's a single piece, but I want to price it reasonably instead of trying to get as much money out of it. That was one of my approaches early on, was just price it cheap and make it available, and it makes it up on volume, the old cliche. And it does actually have a title. It's going to be called Breathe, B-R-E-A-T-H-E. And So, again, technical details and cover art are kind of firming up now, but we're basically pretty close to letting it out into the wild and see what happens.
Right. Well, keep an open ear about it. I'm very excited about your recording and really the success you've had. I think everything that you do is so great, and it's very beneficial for people on many levels.
There is some kind of a proverbial calling there that says, yeah, I would like to live on a planet with more people who've learned how to chill out. And so in whatever small way I can contribute, I'm hoping this is.
That's great. So how can listeners learn more about you? How are you on the web? Where can they gain access to your music and
well,
other
the
things that you
Google
have?
Or DuckDuck, or sorry, the Google or DuckDuckGo, if you want a more secure and private search engine, 33bowls.com is a website. And I've pretty well got everything I've got an about there. I've got links, photo gallery. There's even an Easter egg page. If you search around and find something that's not so obvious, you'll find this whole page on the technical side of it, my Alpha Geek page, and links to the recordings and streaming players, so one can listen to the entire thing first before buying it, so there'll be no rude surprises. And, of course, you could always listen. Someone could always listen to your show. I'm sure there'll be a mention somewhere when it does release.
Oh, yes, I love to cover everything that you do. You're one of my favorite musicians in this area, to be honest. My
awesome.
Personal compliment to you.
Well, thank you.
But, yes, that does it for our show now, though, and I really thank you for being on the show here and speaking about your local or your most recent activity.
Well, thank you. You're welcome.
And I will be sharing this broadcast online. And I will talk to you later. Thank you so much.
All right. See you later.
That does it with speaking with 33 Bowls, also known as Hans, who is based in the Morongo Basin. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, Hans is an amazing person in this area with the Tibetan Singing Bowls. And as mentioned at the beginning of the show, I've known of him for over 5 years now, and the Tibetan Singing Bowls are one of my personal favorite things to listen to, the concerts. Very relaxing, very soothing, a great conversation topic for people in this area, for people outside of this area who are looking to digress and, again, relax and try to achieve or reach a unique state in their mind. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will be having this interview will be available online. Feel free to share it with those who are interested in learning about this topic. And you can go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com as well. I'm on Facebook, and I always share information about this area. And on Facebook, I am known as Lauren L. of the High Desert, high is spelled H-I. Thank you so much for tuning in, and always visit my website if you have questions.